Today's sermon will be a reflection on the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, and I really feel as if I don't mess it up, that this could be a sermon, one of the most powerful messages to impact our life, our faith journey, our work journey, our school journey, and apply it in a way that may be an eye-opening experience upon this passage and in our faith in a way to guide us on our journey of life. I'll remind you, too, that I record our sermon each week, and I send these out on email. If you ever have someone that you'd like me to add to that distribution list, Lynn sends those out each week. Just drop me or Lynn an email here at the church or phone us to ask them to begin receiving these on a weekly basis. It's a great outreach of our church as we share this to hundreds of people each week. So now to the text of the day. As soon as they had left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, you may notice that at times this morning I'll be leaning on the pulpit with a little extra passion and vigor this morning. It's because my back hurts. And Doc told me exactly, where is it I'm hurting now? What?
Back.
Yeah. There is a certain muscle back there that he called it. And I was searching for a scientific reason this morning in men's fellowship time as we had our breakfast of what caused that. But you know what I suspect it is? Stress. Sometimes our back hurts, right? When we're stressed. Now I know what you're thinking. Jody, you're a preacher. What's there to be stressed about? But even us preacher types can get everything a little out of balance every once in a while. And I don't know about y'all, but that's when stress really kind of caves in on me, crunches down on me. Or unhealthy stress, let's use that word. It's when I get things out of proportion of how they should be. As I reflected on that this week in some of my doctoral studies, in my readings and preparation, this acronym came to mind to me to describe where I struggle most of all in living with a healthy balance of stress management. The acronym that came to mind for me is the word SAP, S-A-P. Because isn't that in many ways what we feel when we're stressed, when we're overwhelmed? We feel that our energy, our enthusiasm, our courage, all of that has been sapped. We feel depleted and at the end of ourselves at times. So with that acronym, I want us to consider the words of our scripture today and lessons I've learned in my life of when I'm unhealthy and out of balance in my stress that maybe they'll apply and speak to all of us in our journey at work, in faith, in school, in marriage, in life. The first letter of the acronym SAP is the S. And I've learned throughout my journey of life, when I'm not dealing with things in a healthy way, in a balanced way, that sometimes my pursuit of success is pointed in the wrong direction. It's when success is pointed in the wrong direction or out of place with what God has really called me to do. You know, to share that, I remember hearing a minister tell once as he had moved to a new community. He joined this church as the pastor, and it was kind of a offshoot of a larger church in the area. And he said, I'd been there just a short time, and the pastor at the large church called me. He said, I was so excited to phone him back. I didn't know what he needed from me. How could I help him in his ministry at the large church? And he said, shortly into the conversation, the pastor said, you know what? I was just calling you because I need a new custodian over here at the large church. He said he was thankful to know he didn't want him to be the custodian, but he was just asking the new minister if he had any ideas. And he said the pastor of the large church went on to say, you know, we've got 18 bathrooms in this church. And he said as the conversation went on, he realized the large church pastor was really just bragging about what he had and where they were. And he said, I found myself before we got off the phone hoping that one day I would have a church with 18 bathrooms. He said, I didn't realize it at the time. But as I grew in my ministry, I had placed success in the wrong measuring stick. What does bathrooms have to do with success in the kingdom of God? You know, in fact, when we read Scripture, Jesus never one time talks about success in numbers. In fact, Jesus doesn't use the word success. He says this, my call to you as the church is to be faithful. As Paul, the writer of much of the New Testament, would tell us that our righteousness is not in what we do, in the numbers we create, but our righteousness is simply having faith in the one who truly is righteous or good. It's when we pursue success in things that God has not called us to pursue that we become overly unhealthy in our stress. You know, I say to my, I almost said children. I don't really have children anymore. I have young men. But I've said to my sons before, you know, these kids, it can be so stressful for them in life. The peer pressure, the drive for success on the ball team, Reed. We want to be the best player on the team or in the classroom, or we want to have the most friends. They deal with so much pressure, our young people today. And I often say to my young men this, if they don't perform as well as they would like to in a certain baseball game or sporting event or academic accomplishment, they say, but I'm not the very best. And I often pause and remind them this, you know what? You're probably not going to be the very best baseball player on your team. And you won't be the very best student in that school. And you may not have more friends than anybody. But when you put all those together, you know what I suspect? You're at the top in just about every one of those categories. And I would much rather you be a great student, a great ball player, a great friend, than to be best in any one of those. You see, we're only human. We can't be the best in everything. In fact, I'm not the very best preacher. Boy, I'm glad this is a Presbyterian church. I bet the whole congregation would have shouted amen right then if it had not been. I'm a pretty good preacher. I'm a pretty good dad. I'm a pretty good husband. I think I'm really good at those sometimes. But if I tried to be the very best in the world at any one of those, I would not even be good at the others. You see what I'm saying? There's a pursuit for balance. That's what God has called us to be. The best we that we are. Someone once said this. Their interpretation or their definition of success was this. Peace of mind, you make it, is when you are, you find success, and a peace of mind is when you make the effort to do the best you are capable of. Now that sounds like something some liberal preacher might would say, right? That hadn't ever accomplished a thing. But the originator of that quote was a man named John Wooden, who's won more national championships in college basketball than anyone ever did. John Wooden didn't focus on the end result. He focused on doing the best he could in his daily life and let the results take care of themselves. Friends, may we embrace that in our journey to be the best me each of us can be. You see, I think Jesus gives us an example of that in our text today. He didn't get his pursuit of success out of balance. In our scripture, in verse 33, it tells us, did you catch this? It said the whole city gathered at the door of the house and they yearned to see, to hear, and to be impacted by Jesus' ministry. Consider that. Now, even if this was a small city, even if it was a city the size of Ripley, there would have been 5,000 people there, hungry and eager to follow Jesus. Had Jesus miscalculated what he was called to this earth to do, he could have set up and become the first megachurch pastor right then, right there in Capernaum, right? All the success, all the accolades. It said his fame continued to spread throughout Galilee, but Jesus knew he had a greater mission from God to go and proclaim his glory and his love all around. He didn't get wrapped up in success, in numbers, in the wrong direction. Wow. That's the call of our faith. And the sign of our Lord in this text. The next letter of the acronym SAP is the A. So not only do we and me, most personally, when I get out of balance on the stress level, wrestle with success, driven in the wrong direction, but also I struggle with approval addiction when things aren't going good. In other words, I want everybody to like me. And I want everybody to like everything I do. And you know what? I don't know if y'all have realized this or what, but you can't make everybody happy all the time, right? In fact, every yes in some ways is a no. We can't be everywhere at all times. We can't say yes to everything without saying no to some things. And sometimes, if we're honest, we often want the approval of those who we don't even approve of. Or let me say it a little more abrasive. Sometimes we spend energy and time trying to impress people we don't even like. You ever do that? You ever get wrapped up in trying to impress people that you're not really impressed with? I know I'm being very fleshly here, being very honest. But Scripture calls us, there's going to be people we don't like as much as us. There's going to be personality conflict. We love everyone. That's the call of the faith. But there's some who don't hold the same opinions of life as us. Some who we don't enjoy being with as much as others. And sometimes those are the very ones we want to impress the most. Friends, that's a prescription of stress. And not peace in our life, in the words that John Wooden said. That's when I get it out of balance. When I forget that my call to faith is to be approved by Almighty God. And if we do that, friends, if we'll search for peace in serving God and seeking His approval, then He will grace us with more peace to not be so hungry for the approval of everybody around us. Our scripture tells us today that Jesus brought healing. That's the text that we saw last week too. Remember that Jesus healed the man in the synagogue on the Sabbath? And it seems that his ministry was continuing here on the Sabbath. In chapter 3 of Mark, we're going to hear where this is the very action of Jesus' ministry that got him in trouble. With the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the high church people. They said, oh, well, you're not supposed to be working on the Sabbath. And healing, even though it's good, that's working on the Sabbath, Jesus. So you're not following the law. See, Jesus was focused on what he was called to do. To bring life and love to this world. He didn't try to get the approval of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He melted their rejection by knowing he was serving the King of all kings, the Lord in heaven. Friends, may we embrace the pursuit. And may we have the peace in knowing we can't make everyone happy all the time. But seek with all your heart, mind, and soul to please God. That's the A of our acronym. And the P of the word SAP. Friends, I find there the word perfectionism. And that's really what happens when we get out of balance. When we place success in the wrong area. When we seek approval addiction, we become those ingrained with the pursuit of perfectionism. And the problem with perfectionism is this. We're not perfect. So what we place upon ourselves is a no-win situation for happiness and joy. You are, if you want to be stressed, if you want to be overwhelmed, if you want to have no peace in your life, friends, embrace perfectionism. I know I've done it. There's no peace in it. It's a no-win situation because no matter how good we perform, it's not up to par. We always feel that we could have done better. Our scripture today tells us that Jesus knew his mission. And his mission wasn't only to minister to there in Galilee, but what he did was embody perfection for us so that we could be made perfect in heaven. You see, we're not perfect, but our Lord and Savior is. Now, maybe you're wrestling with this sermon today and saying, Jody, you're just calling us to mediocrity. You're calling us just to try to be whatever goes. You're not telling us to drive to be the best you can. But friends, what I found in my life is this is the prescription for us to be the best we can. If we get out of balance, it's like a car. If our car gets out of balance, it doesn't drive real smoothly, right? It bounces down the road. It's not efficient. It can't last. What I'm calling for us is to be people balanced and strengthened in God and grow in His grace daily. Now, the question that we end with today is, how do we do it? We all, in some ways, can embrace portions of this sermon and say, yes, I know I need to keep my success focused in the right area. Yes, I know I don't need to be addicted to everybody's approval. Yes, I understand that if I'm consumed with perfectionism, it's a no-win situation. But preacher, how do we do it? I don't know. As your pastor, the answer and truth is not in me. But as your pastor, I know who has the answer and the truth. It's been a lifelong pursuit for me to wrestle, to find balance, to not be overstressed in my career, in my athletics, in my church. We are human. But friends, our scripture today gives us the answer. Will you receive it with me? Hear with me these words, perhaps with fresh ears, or in a way you never have before. In verse 35, in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up, went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. There's the answer. Friends, in the search for balance in your life, in your hunger for direction from Almighty God, may we embrace daily prayer, His plan for our life. Because I'm convinced not all stress is bad. You've heard me say today that it's the unhealthy stress and sap that gets us in trouble. But you know, sap can be good too. If you were a tree, you would value sap to the utmost, right? Without sap, if you're a tree, you can't live. And so it is with us. We need stress in our life. We need healthy stress. Not unbalanced stress, but we need the tension. It inspires us. It motivates us. It encourages us to be more. So I'm calling you today to not just ever take anything important and passionate, but to strive to keep your stress and your energy in balance. And to know this through prayer, we can be the best we that there is out there. This past week, I met a little lady from India studying on her doctorate. She grew up in an abusive marriage, an arranged marriage. Her husband would eventually almost beat her to death. She got out of the marriage. She lost everything, her children, her livelihood, her life and all practical purposes. She moved to the States and she told me this. She said, "Jody, we Christians are like mushrooms." She said, "We grow best in the darkest and most desolate situations. When the world around us sees nothing but darkness, we, like mushrooms, thrive because there is where our God is." So friends, embrace the Lord. Pray in the Spirit of Jesus daily for direction in your marriage, in your friendships, young people, in your career, you professionals, on your ball team. Seek that God will guide you in serving Him and sharing His love so that you can be the best you the world's ever seen. Amen. Let's respond in